America Bespoke's Progressive Talk.
CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor. Unemployment rate dropping to 8.6%. Let's look at jobs now from a couple of perspectives. First, CBSMoneyWatch.com, Jill Schlesinger.
Private payrolls were up 140,000, so that was a good number. Remember that part of the problem here when we report on these numbers is the private sector seems to be adding jobs, but the government is shedding jobs. So putting it together, we're getting this number of 120,000, but the private sector has consistently been adding jobs.
I'm Heather Bosch at a Microsoft campus in Fargo, North Dakota.
You're in Fargo. Why are you in Fargo? How'd you end up there?
Adrian Paredes is among nearly 900 Microsoft employees who work here. The growing high-tech industry, part of a business boom in North Dakota, where unemployment hovers around 3.5%. Microsoft, Katie Hasberger.
The cost of doing business here is lower.
Cheaper land, favorable taxes. Coretta says he came for the big city-like job, but will stay for the small-town feel.
How about extending the payroll tax cuts? You know, both from Jake Fung says the president will not accept paying for the extension by cutting programs designed to help the middle class and the poor.
What's shocking about it even more so is the fact that so many Republicans have in the past said they supported payroll tax cuts.
Earlier, President Obama, joined by former President Clinton, unveiling a green jobs creation plan. Carnery Carney offering his impressions.
Jay, you can go out there all by yourself, man.
The campaign of GOP presidential candidate Herman Cain says it will have an important announcement tomorrow.
Tomorrow, we're going to be opening our headquarters in northwest Georgia, where we will also clarify, that's that word again, clarify exactly what the next steps are.
They are out of there. Iranian diplomats kicked out of Great Britain. CBS's Larry Miller with details of the tit-for-tat high-level expulsion.
The British Foreign Office confirms Iran's diplomats are gone. A spokesman says they took off from London's Heathrow Airport just before their 48-hour deadline. Britain shut Iran's embassy after its embassy in Tehran was attacked earlier this week. The diplomats are expected to receive a hero's welcome in Tehran, where anti-British rhetoric is getting hotter. After Friday prayers, there were chants of death to Britain. Larry Miller, CBS News, London.
The next owner of the Los Angeles Dodgers could be a basketball legend.
The Dodgers are for sale, and lots of people say they want to buy them.
Now here's Magic down the middle. Magic! Whoa!
The latest, Magic Johnson, the former Lakers star, is one of LA's most beloved sports figures. Johnson says he's teaming up with some very rich people to try to buy the team. Others who've expressed interest in buying the Dodgers, Mark Cuban and former talk show host Larry King. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Los Angeles.
The Dow right now is up just 10 points, the NASDAQ up 8. This is CBS News.
Never know how. 'Tis the season of some assembly required. So stop into any participating Napa Auto Parts store this December for holiday savings on select tool sets, like the Crescent Brand 128-piece tool gift set, only $49.99, or the Gear Wrench 5-piece universal ratcheting wrench set, just $29.99.
Napa know-how!
Now you can get something for everyone in the family, including your car. Offer expires 12/31/11 while supplies last.
To Alex, what can I say to the greatest four-year-old in the universe? I'm already so proud of you, and you can't even tie your shoes yet. You're the best gift I've ever gotten. So here's the best gift I could give in return. Love, Dad.
When it comes to your loved ones, give the most selfless gift of all, a secure financial future. New York Life Insurance Company has been protecting families for over 165 years and has the highest ratings currently awarded to any life insurer. Contact your New York Life agent or visit newyorklife.com.
Not everyone knows how to drive a stick shift, and that may be a good thing. CBS's Sam Litzinger with a page from the Crime Stoppers textbook.
The St. Petersburg Times has the story of a man and his girlfriend who were lucky a pair of thieves never learned to drive a stick. The paper says two men pulled a gun and demanded the couple give them their 2007 Nissan, which they did, except neither of the thieves knew how to use a manual shift, so they gave up and ran away. Perhaps the carjackers also don't know how to operate the Internet, which has tons of helpful videos.
First off, this is the clutch. This is the brake.
Everything from modern how-to videos.
Now start easily. Engage your clutch slowly.
The classic driver's education films. Police would like to catch the carjackers and teach them another kind of lesson. Sam Litzinger, CBS News.
Mystery chunk. For want of a better term, that is what it's being called. The hunk of metal that plunged from the sky right through a furniture warehouse roof in Plymouth, Massachusetts. Not an airplane part, says the FAA. Police say they are stumped. No one injured by the mystery chunk. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
Thank you for calling Bank. Our banking hours are Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. until 5 p.m.
You have reached Bank. Please call back during our normal business hours.
Welcome to our hours on Monday through Friday.
It is after 5 p.m. We are closed. Hi, thanks for calling Ally Bank. How may I help you?
If your bank doesn't have a real person available 24/7, you need an ally. Ally Bank. No nonsense, just people sense. Member FDIC.
Please listen to this important announcement from Pfizer, the makers of Lipitor, atorvastatin calcium tablets. Pfizer may help you reduce the cost of your monthly Lipitor prescription. For eligible patients, Lipitor is available for as little as $4 a month with the Lipitor copay card. Terms and conditions apply. To learn more, please visit Lipitor.com. See our ad in Cooking Light magazine. Learn more at Lipitor.com or call 1-888-LIPITOR.
It is Friday. Hi. You're Bill Kern. Beely's going to be in here in just a little bit, and we're going to do our weekend review for Calcoast News.
And now, here's Bill Bitica.
All right, that's enough, I guess.
All right, here's the deal. I have to share this with you right here. This is one of the bigger blunders I've seen happen in the Tribune. And then they didn't correct it today, which is like somebody must have mentioned to them that they should correct it. Okay, here's the deal. I think they just got their wires crossed. Paso Robles is going to have their 50th annual Christmas light parade is planned for 7 p.m. tomorrow. So that's what's going on. Now, here's what the thing. I have yesterday's paper. Holiday celebrants set to march in San Luis Obispo. More than 100 entrants are slated to participate in the Vera theme parade, which is, downtown Brown. Okay, so what's it called? A very Merry Christmas or something. Okay, but here's the thing. The holiday spirit will take to the streets Saturday as hundreds of people join in San Luis Obispo's annual holiday parade. The procession will wind its way through San Luis Obispo starting at 7 p.m., et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's not tomorrow. It's tonight. It's tonight. It's not Saturday. It's tonight. It's tonight. And you're going to miss it.
The opinions expressed on Talk is Cheaper, bills, the callers, and the occasional stray that wanders in the studio. They're not necessarily those of the owners, management, sponsors, staff, delivery people, janitorial service. Consider this a personal invitation to pick up the phone and exercise your constitutional right to express your opinion.
It's your call, and the smartest one you can make is Dacosta Computers. There isn't another group of 10 people more dedicated to helping their clients get the most out of their business computers. Dedicated pros who enjoy helping people with their computers. They love making small business networks network and making the whole mess seem simple. Coastal Computers is here for the small business that needs computers and technology just to stay even and be competitive. They're here for the small business that can't afford to hire a computer staff. It doesn't matter whether price is your first concern or your last. Service is Coastal Computers' first concern, and that includes making your operation painless and highly successful. Coastal Computers is known for making the tough stuff easy. They've been doing it for over 25 years with lots of happy clients. They're certainly the real deal and worth a call. Coastal Computers, Microsoft, Intel, and networking specialists. Call 543-9047 or visit ccslo.com right now.
Looking for a great holiday gift idea that won't break the bank? Remember this name.
Slow Roasted Coffee.
That's right.
Slow Roasted Coffee.
They're your local neighbors, and their coffee is always a crowd pleaser. Now's the time of year to enjoy Slow Roasted Coffee's special holiday blends. Candy cane, pumpkin pie, winter wonderland, and a favorite, cinnamon gingerbread. folks love their coffee. And if you're wondering what to give your coworker or need to pick up a host gift before you go to that holiday party, it's Slow Roasted Coffee to the rescue. Got someone out of town? Send them a gift from the happiest place on earth. Shop online at slowroasted.com. They'll ship it for you. Locally, you'll find Slow Roasted Coffee at grocery stores throughout the county. This holiday season, don't just drink coffee, enjoy it. Drink Slow Roasted Coffee.
It's so good.
So good.
Hey. All right. Here's the deal. This is our flashback on history day. It's the other thing that's called a quickie. There's not much information. Our Highland history: on December 2nd, 1961, Cuban leader Fidel Castro declared himself a Marxist-Leninist who would eventually lead Cuba to communism in a nationally broadcast speech that began around midnight and ended 5 hours later. But he's lasted a long time, he hasn't. On this date, his brother's in it. 1954, the Senate voted to condemn Senator Joseph R. McCarthy of Wisconsin for conduct that tends to bring the Senate into disrepute, would you say? 10 years ago, in one of the largest corporate bankruptcies in U.S. history, Enron filed for Chapter 11 protection. Birthdays today, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid is 72, broadcast journalist Stone Phillips is 57, singer Nellie Furtado, who's like a bird, is 33, and pop singer Britney Spears, who's like a bird brain, and she's 30 years old today. So happy birthday to them, and happy birthday to you if it is yours.
Happy birthday to you.
Go, Mo. Mo barbecue, please.
Mo ribs, Mo chicken, Mo pork, Mo beef, Mo burgers, Mo onion rings, Mo potato chips, Mo beans, Mo fried green tomatoes.
Mo barbecue, please.
Mo slaw, Mo tater salad, Mo house salad, Mo Cobb salad, Mo Caesar salad, and Mo's Calypso salad. Mo sodas, Mo brewskis, Mo lemonade, Mo iced tea.
Mo barbecue, please.
At Osus in Monterey and San Luis Obispo and Pismo, it's the bomb. Pomeroy's most bodacious beach barbecue, babies.
Mo barbecue, please.
California is number one at a lot of things. Surfing, wine. We're the state with the most millionaires, the most nonconformists, the most millionaire nonconformists. That's why Farmers, the number one insurance group in California, is proud to have been born right here. Our 4,200 agents statewide have the experience to help you tailor a plan for the unexpected.
You can't go wrong with a guy named Wright, so give Farmers agent Mike Wright a call at 541-3942.
Number one ranking based on market share of property and casualty insurers in California.
The time has come, and I'm very pleased, too, to have Karen Vealy here, because we had last weekend off because of Turkey Day. And so we're here to have our CalCoastNews.com weekend review, you and Bill Benneke and Karen and us. And so this is 1340 KYNS, your news station, and I thank you very much for joining me, Karen.
Nice to see you again, Bill.
You've just been a whirling dervish of activities here for the last month. So have you got a chance to take a deep breath at all?
Yes, and I think things are actually slowing down. So the site should be back to more stories. It's been a little light for the last month.
That's all right. That's okay. We're doing a good job. People got some good stories up here. I mean, look how much some people are making. You know, I think Warren Baker, for instance, that's a Before we get to that story. All right, here's the thing that I, where do I want to start with you? Where do you want to start? Let's not start with Beef O'Brady's. Here's a thing I made a comment on this week, okay. And that was the gun show thing on public land. And so I said it's a sort of an oxymoron to have a Second Amendment that has to do with the public and their right to bear arms and then say, but, you know, you don't want to do that on public land. It's kind of like you don't. I mean, where else would you do it? I mean, you can do it on private land, but why would you not do it? So here's the only issue that I see in this whole thing is I didn't really realize they did this at gun shows. I didn't know they had ammunition at gun shows, but I guess if they can sell at a discount or something or somebody can get it cheaper at a gun show, they can buy it at a gun show. But I can see where they might say, you know, we need to separate the church and state on that and say, okay, we don't really need ammunition at a gun show. But unloaded guns are harmless.
An unloaded gun is harmless, but, you know, it goes right back to the guns. Are guns the problem? Or, you know, if you look at the different countries that have gun problems or have a lot of, deaths through guns, it really doesn't have to do with their gun laws.
No, and if you look at Syria today, for instance, you can see that the people that have the guns are the wrong people that have them. And perhaps in Egypt also, we'll see how that goes.
But I'm talking, what is it, Sweden? Almost everyone has a gun.
Yeah.
And they have almost no shootings. And I think in Canada, they don't have guns, and they have almost no shootings.
So you don't know. And here's the other thing, too. There was one of the states they were talking about, was it Arizona, New Mexico? Some state was talking about having a mandatory a gun thing where you had to carry a gun.
And oh, that's strange.
Well, what their thinking was is that if everybody knew that everybody else had a gun, maybe people wouldn't use them. You know, knowing they could get blown away by a little old lady next to them, you know, kind of thing.
But I know a lot of people that would not like to have a gun.
Oh, I understand.
I mean, about all the people that lose it. We had the guy in the house in Atascadero with the machete and the ice pick.
Here's the thing that I find interesting. I would think that the bigger issue, really, at a gun show is, are they selling guns that are unregistered? You know what I mean? They have older guns that were never registered, and therefore, you know, they can sell them as an unregistered weapon. And so I would think that's the bigger problem, really, about a gun show, is that, you know, you can obtain, you know, guns without having a permit.
And how long has registration been in? I'm not sure.
As a guess, about 10 years.
Oh, so it's a lot of guns aren't registered.
Oh, yeah, lots and lots of them aren't registered. You know, anything that was over 10 years old. They you know, and I'm not going to say people didn't register them. Oh, I'm sure a few people stepped forward and said, okay, I'll do it, but I'm sure a whole lot of people didn't. And so that to me is the bigger issue, really, about the gun
and
show.
And so there is a, if you have a 10-year-old gun, you don't have to register it.
Well, no, theoretically, under the law, you do.
Okay.
But how do they know that you didn't? You know what I'm saying? They have no idea that you didn't register a gun that you have that they don't know you have. So, you know, that's the big issue with that, really.
And do you remember the chief of police over in Paso Robles? She lost her gun. And then when they were looking for it, she realized it was never registered. She had purchased it and not registered it.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't know. I sort of saw that a little bit as an accidental faux pas. I don't know if she was deliberately trying to not register her gun, but if she's the police chief. But then we had the other guy. We had the guy, I think it was in Grover Beach, if you recall. We had an officer that his gun fell out of his holster while he was getting dressed and shot himself. And not seriously, but, you know, in the foot or the knee or something, I don't know what it was. And then he was suing for workman's comp because he said it was on the job. And then the city of Grover was saying, no, you weren't on the job yet. You were just getting dressed. You know, so I don't know where that whole thing ever went. Do you know, another thing that struck me the other day, and I don't know if the answer to this, and I don't think it's been in the news, so you may, I don't know anybody knows the answer to this yet. What's the police chief that passed away? Not police chief, our fire chief.
Okay. Yes, I know who you're talking about.
Okay. It's not coming to me right at the moment. That's okay. Okay, but here, so he passed away playing softball.
Yes.
Now his widow was suing to get some kind of compensation.
Yes, and they had already. This was his second retirement. He was just going to stay the 5 years. And it kind of goes through the other story. When you have high-level people that retire and then they go for a second retirement by working another 5 years, rather than bringing someone else new up the ranks and having them be the new fire chief. And they often usually only plan to stay the five years they're required to get a second pension. But his wife was going for the an injury on the job.
Right.
And saying that, you know, heart attacks or something happened to firemen because of fighting fires. But if he had a heart attack from fighting fires, wouldn't that be from his first job? I mean, wouldn't that be where that comes from? Because he'd only been here a few years.
He had a heart attack from playing softball.
Yeah, but their argument is that his heart was damaged from being a fireman for so many years. But he wasn't a fireman here for so many years.
Well, it is the whole thing does get kind of out of control. Let me give phone numbers out so people have them. 786-2578, 786-2578, and 1-866-937-1340. That's toll-free, 1-866-937-1340. You're certainly welcome to call in and ask current questions. So here the story I had today, speaking of what you're speaking about, of course, was former Cal Poly President Warren Baker is taking home about $572,000.
Yes, and
a year.
This seems to be very, what is happening right now in the CSU system is they actually have just about the same budget they had 5 years ago, but the spending has really changed much more. The amount spent on administrators has gone sky high, and they're giving raises to administrators, they're giving administrators new jobs. And you have, for example, Warren Baker, when he was working at Cal Poly, was making 300 and some thousand a year. At the same time he was working two directorships, he was almost never seen on campus, and he was making actually over 500,000 a year with his two other positions. And interesting enough, one of those was a director on a board for a publishing company that publishes books for universities.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting right there. This is almost like, this is like being in politics, you know what I mean? You get out and you become a lobbyist or whatever it is. It's kind of interesting.
And they give each other jobs. I find this very interesting how they keep moving into higher and higher money brackets after they retire. So, for example, they can't, according to their CalPERS, they can't work more than 960 hours a year after they retire. So they at the same job. So they retire from Cal Poly, then they go back to Cal Poly getting a job. They get their CalPERS, they get their Cal Poly job, and then they have their other jobs.
Well, so here's what you came out with. In July of 2010, CSU Chancellor Charles Reed gave Baker a new title, Special Assistant to the Chancellor, with a yearly salary of $109,000 for working at least 18 and a half hours per week.
Yes. But he's supposed to be working out of an office at Cal Poly, and I'm hearing he's never there.
Well, I want to say this. For that kind of dough, I'd work more than 18 hours a week. I really would.
Well, he can't work more than 18. He can't work more than 960.
Because of his CalPERS. Okay, I got
you. And then you lose your CalPERS. But, again, there's a lot of, you know, teachers, they're doing layoffs. They've gotten rid of 100 employees in the last year and a half. And at the same time, they're bringing back administrators who have full retirements, while others are being laid off and lectures are being let go. I've been told they're not going to have summer school this year. They're going to cancel the whole summer school, which is going to make it much harder for the students to graduate. And it's going to mean less money for the teachers, less, you know, those that teach the summer schedule also, which many do. So you're really lowering the pay for the teachers and adding costs to the students. And the only ones that seem to have their pay boost are the administrators. And there's new positions opening up. Plus, they're making sure that even after they retire, they continue to get more jobs. Another one is Robert Detweiler. He retired from Dominguez Hills. He came here, and they gave him a job as provost. And then for a while, he was teaching just part-time for, I think, $50,000 or $60,000 a year. And now they've made him part-time dean of the School of Engineering. I think it's $100,000, $100,800. So it's, but again, you have teachers lectures that aren't being brought back, and you have teachers that were told they were going to get a raise that didn't get theirs. And at the same time, you had $6 million in raises given to administrators.
It's insane. I'm sorry. It just seems crazy. It just, it just doesn't seem right. I spoke to a Cal Poly student the other day, and she said, Well, I guess for all we're paying for that new gymnasium, at least they're going to get it done, hopefully, before I graduate so I can use it. I go, yeah, really. But it's really, really, really gotten kind of wacky.
Well, and if you go to the CFA, the California Faculty Association website, the Union for the Teachers, they're having people sign right now permission to strike. And there is talk of a strike in January. And they've been doing one-day strikes now, but there is a talk of a more substantial strike coming out in the January, in that time frame, which they have a list of about 25 grievances, and it's primarily that the executive pay is skyrocketing while professors and layoffs and professor pay is lowered.
Yeah, and they have a lot of lectures and stuff they're laying off. So that's they've certainly got a point. You know, they've got a point, it seems to me. Anyway, so that's what's happening at your university here in San Luis Obispo. Other things are going on that we want to talk about today. And here was an interesting thing. The thing I found so remarkably insane was you have – I'm going to just do this one, just touch on this one. Is you had the thing about the apple juice in here and about, you know, is it tainted? And the interesting thing was I was watching this on CNN, I think it was, and it's so minor how much arsenic is a natural occurring problem.
Yeah.
But the thing is that it, you know, that they're talking about, you know, no more than 10 parts per billion. And I think to myself, I don't care what it is. If you told me that, here, I'm going to put poison in your apple juice and it's going to be 10 parts per billion, I'd say, fine, I don't care. That's what I would think, you know. How could 10 parts per billion hurt you? Well, I guess it can.
Well, it's not allowed in water because it's supposed to have an effect on the human body. So the argument is, if it's not allowed in water, should it be allowed in apple juice?
Well, of course not. Of course not. So if you're not, yeah, you're right. If it's not in water, why should it be in apple juice?
But if it's already overregulated, who knows?
I don't know. You know, the Chinese just automatically add heavy metals to everything they have because they enjoy it. All right. So we have assembly budget records now open. And so this is going to be interesting. Budget records of state assembly members will be released for public scrutiny, a Sacramento judge decided Thursday. Shortly after the tentative decision was posted, assembly officials said they will not immediately contest it. But they will contest it. Sacramento Bee and Los Angeles Times sued the assembly in August, challenging its proclaimed right to keep secret records of expenditures of individual members. And so the judge said, no, sorry, that's no good. And so now we see at what point it becomes available to the public.
And I do notice that when you have transparency, I think transparency is always good. And whenever you don't have transparency, you usually have some problems. And as a reporter, when I ask somebody for records and they fight me, I almost always go, okay, what's up? Why are you fighting this? Why are you disagreeing? I sent a records request over to Cal Poly a couple days ago, and I received back something, this is going to be really hard. Can you make it? Can we do it a different way? Instead of going for looking at words and emails, can we just look for subject matter? Well, no, I want any email that says this word back to me. I don't want you then to decide what subject matter the email's about, whether I can have it or not. But when they start dancing around and trying to hide things, it's usually when, as a reporter, you think that there's more there.
Yeah, you would.
And it's almost always that way. Any agency, the APCD is probably the worst agency in the county about giving out records, which makes you want to look more at the agency.
All right, and here's the amount of money we're talking about. The assembly divides $146.7 million annually amongst its members. So, and we have this other issue that's come along here. Let me see if you have it here. This other issue about they're taking away cars, you know, from the state. They're taking away state cars,
yeah.
But they're giving them mileage, you know, and the mileage is going to be cost. The mileage is going to end up costing more than the car. So it's like it's another thing that's insane. Now here's something important to pass along, because this is eggnog season, and E. coli found in Cal Poly eggnog, and so that's really a bummer. Because I anything I can buy from Cal Poly, I buy it and I eat it.
Oh yeah.
But this is E. coli. Even if it's only 10 parts per billion, E. coli is not going to do you any good.
No, so, I think that Cal Poly eggnog maybe avoided this holiday season.
Yeah, the Cal Poly Creamery has issued a voluntary recall of the quart-sized bottles of Farmstead-made eggnog after a sample was found to be contaminated with E. coli during routine testing on Wednesday. As of Thursday afternoon, no illness has been reported, etc. The recalled eggnog, so we can tell people what it is marked with the expiration dates December 10th and December 17th. printed blue on the top of the lid and may have been purchased at one of the following retailers: Scolari's, Spencer's, Slow Fresh Market in San Luis Obispo, and Cal Poly Campus Store. So, and I don't know anything about making eggnog, but does it have, I mean, it has eggs, obviously.
Yeah.
Are they raw eggs?
Yes.
Oh, okay, so that's the problem right there, probably.
Yeah, and I don't know if they, I don't know how they do it in the industry. But anytime you have E. coli, there would have been, I know they did a voluntary when they found it themselves, but there would have been it would have absolutely been shut down anyway. You know, they may have done a voluntary recall, but it would have been a recall. Because that's the reason they test for it.
Well, now, here's the other thing, though. So this, maybe you know the science behind this. Can an egg get E. coli if it's not cracked open? So, like, if you buy Cal Poly eggs, they should be okay, yes?
I don't think it's from eggs. I think it's, I'm not sure what it's from, but I know.
Oh, so, but something else. Oh, I see. It got in the eggnog.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, okay. All right, other things that are going on. Let me do this here. Wait, here, let's go ahead and talk about this Atascadero man barricading his home. How long was that standoff? 17 hours or something?
Yes.
Anyway, and so he's just a Looney Tune, is really what it comes down to. And luckily the family got out of the place, and they finally, luckily, talked him out of the place. And so he'll be spending some time up at Ash for a while, I would think.
You think they're going to send him directly to Ash?
Yeah, just do not pass go. Just, yeah, there you go.
Forget the courses.
And, of course, we had a Tascadero State Hospital lockdown because of two injuries last week.
It wasn't because of the injuries.
It wasn't because, Oh, no, it was because of their alarm system.
Yeah, their alarm system went down.
That's right. I forgot. Yeah, the alarm system went down. That's right.
But and they are having a lot of assaults there on a regular basis lately.
I wonder why it's increased that way.
I don't know.
I don't either. But it is. So I don't know what precipitates that. But they the people always worry at Tascadero State Hospital, of course, you know, about how things are going to go for themselves, and that's understandable also. All right, let's take a break. We're going to come back. If you'd like to talk to Karen or myself, or you just want to make a comment on 1340 KYNS, our numbers are 786-2578. That's 786-2578 and 1-866-937-1340.
Whether you've got a long list to shop for or you're searching for that one perfect present, Farm Supply is your local source for great gifts this holiday. Hi, this is Nicole. Keep your family cozy as the temperatures drop with our great selection of sweaters, jackets, hats, and boots. And for the cowboy or cowgirl on your list, Farm Supply has jeans, shirts, and belts from favorite brands like Wrangler, Cinch, Cool Girl, Stetson, and more. Stumped on what to buy the person who has everything? Farm Supply has gift certificates that are sure to please. And while you're at it, why not deck your own halls with festive home decor items full of seasonal cheer. Farm Supply is proud to serve the Central Coast this holiday season, just like we've done for over 60 years. Visit us at our new locations in Paso Robles on Ramada Drive and in Buellton on McMurray Road. We're also located in Arroyo Grande, Santa Maria, and San Luis Obispo. You can help us feed the less fortunate this holiday season. Stop by your local Farm Supply, ask how you can donate to your local food banks, and a chance to win a barbecue pit made by our pump department. At Farm Supply, we have something for the farmer and everyone.
I'm getting married in the morning. Ding dong, the bells are gonna chime. Pull out the stopper, we'll have a whopper. Get me to the church on time. I gotta be there in the morning, spruced up and looking in my prime.
Girls, come and kiss me, say how you'll miss me. Get me to the church.
I'm Art Emmer, and you're listening to a song from my upcoming CD, Frank and Frankie, a celebration of the Sinatra Romantic Eras with crooner Steve Lippia. My weekly KYNS Radio 1340 AM gas show premieres, GAS, The Great American Songbook, From the Way We Were to the Way We Are.
Art Emmer's KYNS Radio Gas Show, Saturday at 1 p.m., repeated Sunday at 5 p.m.
Frank Sinatra once graciously gifted me a singing lesson. Tune in and hear all about it.
Ding dong.
Back we be. You're with Bill and Karen, and I thank you for joining us today. This phone numbers once again are 786-2578. That's 786-2578 or 1-866-937-1340. This reminder, we are streaming KYNS on calcoastnews.com, and if you go in the upper right-hand corner of the banner across the top, you'll see it on the right-hand side. All you do is click on that, and it'll connect you. You have to somebody advertises first, though. You got to hear a little ad from somebody, or State Farm, or I forget who it is. I'm not sure. It's somebody. I don't know. Anyway, this was a strange, strange tale, and I'll let you kind of explain it as how you want to. But this Daniel Blackburn did a story, and this was this former deputy that sort of trampled all over a guy's rights, to say the least. And then now his thing is to he's working with people that are, I guess, abused by law enforcement.
Well, no,
or
it's public,
to help
he's
people.
A public defender.
Oh, public, he's now a
so
public defender. Oh, that's right, because he had a law degree.
Yeah, he had a law degree, and he was, what's his first name? Darren McMurphy.
Yeah, Darren.
Darren Murphy.
Yeah.
And he is the police officer that, there's a video, you can go to Cal Coast News and link on to Daniel Blackburn's video, and it's a very interesting video of an arrest. The man was target shooting at his house, which is completely legal to do. And officers went to his house, and sheriff deputies did, and McMurphy Murray on the way over was saying, you know, he was going to do something, that he has a reputation for going after citizens that have guns. And he went onto the property. They arrested the man. They did an illegal search of his home. They took his guns, grabbed his property. And then in the video audio tape, you can hear them actually saying, you know, what can we say because we didn't get a search warrant? Now, Murphy has a law degree. He probably knows more than most deputies what the rules are on search warrants. But shortly after the video came out that Daniel Blackburn did, he slammed quite a bit. So then he did a statement about it in Playboy magazine. Darren Murphy did. And he got a little ragging on that. It was on policemen's rights. And shortly after that, he stepped down from the police department and quickly retired and went into, you know, the public defender. But the interesting thing is, here's a man that stepped all over somebody's rights and treated them like a criminal, and who has a reputation for being very harsh on criminals, more especially anyone that has a gun, even if you legally have a gun. And now he is supposedly helping, protecting the rights of criminals that have been arrested that can't afford their own attorney.
So I need to kind of get the upshot of what happened. Once it was revealed, or was it revealed at the time of this guy's arrest that he was hunting on his property legally? I mean, he was shooting on his property legally?
No, at the time of his arrest, it did not come out. And it was a couple years later that Dan was able to get hold of the audio and video of the incident. And then he put together a video of it. But at the time, no. And they were hardballing him, telling him, you know, he was he had to agree not to sue the sheriff's department for them to drop charges. They basically dropped charges and gave him back his guns.
But there weren't any charges to begin. I mean, their charges were bogus.
Yes, and the judge did say you did not have a right to search his house and take his guns. And then one of the things that they were trying to go with was he had bought it at a gun shop here. And he said, if I can walk into a gun shop here and buy this, how can it be illegal? It was some type of sight he had on one of his guns. And at the end, their main thing was, well, you had the sight, but they had no right to go on his property and search it in the beginning. But they ended up keeping the one sight, and it was kind of the one thing they said he had done wrong.
I'm just going to, from what I know about guns, which is what I did for a living in the service, and a sight, the only thing that you could have as far as a sight, there's lots of new kinds of sights out. They're called red dot sights, you know, and laser sights and everything else. And the only one I would wonder if you're not allowed to have, but I've never heard that you're not allowed to have it. I've seen them advertised, is night vision sight.
And that might have been what it was. And I'm not sure, but they advertise them, they sell them locally, but there are some rules against having them.
Well, we'd have to look into
it. I mean, he showed I remember reading his police report. It's been a few years, but I remember reading over the or about a year ago. But I found it very interesting that that's what they hung their hat on. But they were pretty tough on the guy. And it's a very interesting video if you have not seen it.
But I don't understand. Absolutely. I don't understand why the judge didn't say, you know, not only do you not have the right to search his home, but you don't have, why would they have the right to say, in order for us to drop charges, which were bogus to begin with, then you can't sue us? Well, why was that allowed to stand?
I know, and the weird thing is, one of his neighbors had called and said she thought she heard shots, and he was target shooting. When they got there, it was obvious he was target shooting, and he had a gun. And he was, you know, he had his gun. I think he was cleaning his gun when they showed up. He never pointed the gun at the officers in the video. He does not point at the officers. Now Murphy now says he thought he was going to shoot at him, as his reason for the aggressive raid.
This is really weird. So, and he lives he lives out in a rural area, correct?
Yes, where it's absolutely legal to target shoot. I don't know. I grew up target shooting. My father was a federal agent, and he always had guns, and he would sometimes go out and target shoot. And I mean, it's just what.
No big deal.
It was never considered a big deal.
Okay. Because I know the near where I live, they have there's some open area, and the people that own that thing, they shoot ground squirrels so that they don't dig holes and trip their cattle.
I have an interesting kind of going off on a tangent story. You were talking about an officer shooting himself. One of my dad's partners, and he worked out of I think the Santa Maria office here years ago, and he opened the office years ago. But one of his former partners, I remember when I was a kid, was shot. And at the time, I thought, oh, that's awful. He was shot on duty. Well, they had a 70th birthday party for my dad a few years ago that he went to. And it was finally explained what really happened. They used to play five cans. They'd drive out in the woods somewhere, and they'd put five cans up on a fence or something. And they'd stand right to left. They'd draw and shoot from their side to the center, and whoever shot the center can won. And they played this game for years. He shot himself drawing in the leg, you know, uh-huh. Pulling his gun out, he shot himself in the leg. So that's another one of the.
And he was an FBI agent?
He was an ATF agent.
Oh, ATF. Because there was a guy, talk about a character, and I can't think of his last name right now, Bill. His name is Bill, and he was the FBI agent in Santa Maria. And he was a character of all characters.
Yeah, but they had some interesting guys. But I think a lot of the shootings that happen with, you know, this happens every once in a while.
You know, the other thing, I don't know if people know this, that we have an FBI office in Santa Maria. But
yeah.
But we do.
It started off as ATF for both counties. And interesting, when they had my dad come down here and open the office, they said either open it in San Luis Obispo or in Santa Maria. And my dad has, he's a little on the fiscal over, he's very fiscally responsible. He found a post office he could get a couple years free rent from that was had closed down. And that's why the office is in Santa Maria and not San Luis Obispo.
How interesting.
But the reason the FBI came in, because ATF went out when Reagan came in. And when you have a president, you have to have FBI in the area. So that's how that happened.
Then I met the next agent. In a most unusual fashion, I got to 3 o'clock in the morning, did morning news and everything, and so I was taking a nap one afternoon. There was a bang on the door, you know, and I went and answered the door, and the guy said, "Your name Vetica?" I go, "Yeah, what's your name?" And so he said, "Whatever it was," and he said, "Agent so and so." I said, "Okay, what's up?" And he says, "Do you know this person? They used to live here." I go, "No. I live here. I have no idea who lived here before me, you know." And so he said, "You don't have the faintest idea." I said, "You know, instead of me going through all this, because I'm really tired, I want to go back to bed, why don't I just give you the name of the owner of the building here, this thing, and you just call him and talk to him about the guy?" "Oh, you got his number?" I said, "Of course I do." So I gave the number and went back to bed. It was like, what are you doing? I don't need to be questioned about this. Anyway, it was
very
strange.
They have a whole lot of agents now. I remember when I was a kid, my dad started off by himself, and he had an office about the size of this studio, which I can tell you is not very large. And then later brought in one partner. So in the for years, it was just two agents for both counties.
All right, let's see what else. Have we missed anything that we didn't get to this week? Walmart. What's going on?
Now, that I found very interesting.
Yeah. Go ahead, talk about it.
Walmart and the Rotman Group worked together to try to get a Walmart into Atascadero. And there was some behind-the-scenes things. I don't, for those that don't remember back in about, I think it was 05, the city manager and others in the city were working on this, and they were telling the public they weren't. Records requests proved that they had been working on and courting Walmart for quite some time. So there was some anger in the population that their public officials had lied to them. So that there was, I think there were over 300 people angry about this coming in at the time. And they had a lot of pretty tough meetings. And I went to a lot of those meetings, and at the time, the Walmart consultant would get up and say, "Don't worry, we're doing this," and show slideshows and said, "We're going to cover mitigation. We'll cover the traffic mitigation that's we're going to cover the EIR and anything the EIR says that needs to happen." Well, the Rotman Group, who helped bring them in the first place, was going to be building the annex, which was going to be some other stores. So the whole thing was going, and they were going to cover the EIR for both groups and the mitigation for both at that time. Well, since then, the two are not getting along very well. And so the Walmart now wants the city either to pay out of city coffers or wants the Rotman Group to come up with some money. And the Rotman Group is in some financial straits right now.
Yeah, I remember reading that.
So they have, I think, a $6.6 million they're getting sued for what he called loans recalled or foreclosed.
Oh, yeah, I had that foreclosure.
So they're having trouble anyway, and they're obviously not going to do it. But here's the interesting thing. According to the EIR, if Rotman doesn't build, the traffic mitigation is mostly not needed, and Walmart will save millions. They'll save $3 or $4 million by not having the Rotman Group go out.
Well, so you're saying if it's just Walmart with nothing attached to it, Walmart ends up ahead of the game.
Oh, they make millions by not having to do the mitigation. There was a phone call that went out, and it said, "Attention Walmart supporters," and went on to say how financially inept the Rotman Group was, how it was very wrong of the Rotman Group to write a opinion piece in the paper. And one of the, Maury Rotman himself wrote an opinion piece saying, you know, that Walmart should stand by what they said they would do. And they just really trashed the Rotman Group and end by saying, you know, support Walmart, support your town, you know, don't support Rotman type thing. And so, interesting enough, Walmart immediately claimed they didn't do it. Though it came from a phone line in Arkansas right near Walmart headquarters.
And here's the details of this other part. Last month, the Central Coast Bank filed a lawsuit against the Rotman Group for defaulting on a $6.2 million debt related to the Atascadero Annex project. In its lawsuit, Montecito Bank and Trust says the Rotman Group deceived them by using some of the same assets to secure loans for the Atascadero projects the group used as collateral for a $15.3 million loan from City National Bank for a project called Oak Canyon Ranch in Calaveras County. City National Bank foreclosed on the property, further diminishing the Rotman Group's creditworthiness, the suit says. So it reminds me of somebody else in the Atascadero that was kind of doing some strange stuff.
But if you remember, who was behind? Kelly Gearhart was the one of the originators of wanting to put the Walmart in. So this is, it kind of goes back to the same old crowd of people.
Wow.
That has been going on. It's going to be interesting as things keep changing for the, you know, in Atascadero. Because, again, for those that don't know, there's been a very, I think it's almost a four-year investigation into Kelly Gearhart and Jay Miller and several people for a number of things, organized crime, money laundering, Ponzi scheme. And though they've already filed charges against one of the gentlemen, he was not arrested. And typically, when it's a federal arrest, they arrest everyone at the same time. So it's...
And what's the status on that whole thing at this point?
It's just everybody's just waiting to get arrested is what I'm told. And they don't know who's going to be, you know, and I have a lot of thoughts of who it might be, but I don't think anyone except for the officials know who is going to be arrested at this point.
And how long out is that, do they think?
I don't know. I think it must be coming soon, though, because of filing the charges against Jay Miller. Now, see, Jay Miller had agreed to testify against Kelly Gearhart and others in a plea agreement. And then he backed out after I was writing that they were working on the plea agreement. And then when they went after him and said, okay, instead of just spending, you know, this many years, you know, 9, 12 years or whatever, if you want to have 70 years. And within days, he agreed to the plea agreement and signed off.
Interesting.
And that main thing is that he's got to testify against the others involved, which has got to make some people not very comfortable.
Crazy, 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 and a wild and crazy week, too. Don't forget, you can go to CalCoastNews.com anytime of the day or night and see what's going on. And Karen and others keep posting things up there so you can find out what's happening. Talk is cheap. If you click on that, you'll get KYNS, I'm pretty sure, 24 hours. And is there anything else you want to add?
And we're going to have a story later today for those that are interested in the Paso Levo olive ranch. There have been some changes in that. For those that remember, about 4 months ago, they announced that they had closed process, that no one could bid on the property, and that they were going to sell it, but no one, new buyers could come in. I wrote a story about that about 2 months ago, 3 months ago, and they have canceled that sale, and the property is up for sale.
So I could buy that now if I want.
And the interesting thing is, if you look at it on the MLS listing, it shows one house on this land and some olive trees and that type of thing. But it's actually I think 4 or 5 homes on 160.
Yeah,
I think it's
like
around
that,
166
yeah.
acres, plus the business. And right now they're asking $3.2 million. But I think what they're going to do is allow it to anyone to come in and bid on it. They've got that. That's the price they've got it set for. But they're not going. They're going to close it on January 14th, and at that point, you know, they'll decide who they're going to sell the property to.
Boy, and that was another crazy, wild, and unusual story right there. So we got stuff going on the Central Coast that's wild and crazy and unusual. And so you can be a part of it. Just all you have to do right here is tune in on Fridays, and Karen will make appearances during the week when something's going on.
Yeah.
And I thank you very much for taking the time today.
Thank you.
Hi, Karen. We will talk to you later. Okay, next week, for sure, I'll get hold of you.
And we try to remember to turn the microphones on and off at the right time sometimes. Sometimes that doesn't always work. But luckily, because Bill's, you know, trying to be forthright and nice and a good boy, nothing's wrong with that. All right, other things are going on in our world. We're going to have Jim D in here, by the way, at after the news. And Jimmy's going to tell us about some new movies that he has at the Palm Theater. Very interesting movies, by the way. And he's glad he can come in and tell us about them. So I'm glad he can, too. Taylor Auction displays a life of passion and jewelry. Is what I'd say. You know, a life of passion and jewelry is what you'd have to say about Liz Taylor's auction there. And then Barbara Walters named her fascinating people. Simon Cowell, Derek Jeter, Katy Perry. Also on the list are businessman and TV personality Donald Trump, the Kardashian reality TV family. These are the most interesting, fascinating people. Is it the Kardashians? Okay. Well, I've missed the boat somewhere. Jesse Tyler Ferguson and Eric Stone Street, the on-screen couple from ABC's comedy hit Modern Family. Others include, how many are on the dang list? That was the 10 most fascinating people. I've already gotten 12 people out here. Others included Pippa Middleton, sister of British royal Kate Middleton, and Amanda Knox, the former Seattle exchange student who 4 years in custody ended with an Italian court overturning her murder conviction. And very rapidly, I might ask, unlike the thing with Dr. Conrad Murray that seemed to take a long, long time to explain that. And other things are going on. And then here, speaking of the Kardashians, who are some of the most fascinating people, I guess, the NBA player Chris Humphries asked the judge Thursday to annul his 10-week highly publicized marriage to Kim Kardashian on the basis that it was fraudulent. The filing comes roughly a month after Kardashian filed for divorce and apologized to fans. Yep, wife, well, how much did I come up with a day? I forget, it was a lot of money a day. It was, holy cow. It was pricey. It was pricey by the hour. It was pricey. It was like $35,000 an hour or something. I don't know if it was. It was huge. Anyhow, but I'm glad to see that these marriages made in heaven work out. All right, other things going on. We're going to get to. We will get to other things that are going on. This Myanmar thing is really interesting, with the Secretary of State, and as China is saying, what is it you're doing really? What's going on here? You know, so if China doesn't understand and they want to, then how are we going to understand? But we're going to try to figure it out right there. And then Brown will ask voters to raise sales tax and increase what rich must pay. Oh, my gosh, what a concept. I think I've heard that floating around before, and not very well. So he'll get a super committee on that thing, and they'll fall on their face soon. We'll have Jim D. back after the news.
CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor. It's about the economy. Economy is about jobs.
The jobless rate fell to 8.6 from 9% last month. The economy created about 120,000 new jobs. Labor Secretary Hilda Solis likes the trend.
I'm happy that we've seen actually a downsizing, if you will, of the unemployment rate from what it was last year, from 9.8% to 8.6, but we need to continue to do more.
More than 300,000 people stopped looking for work last month, so they weren't officially counted as unemployed. That accounts for some of the drop in the jobless rate. Sam Litzinger, CBS News, Washington.
Republican presidential candidate Herman Cain knows how to tease an appearance.
Tomorrow in Atlanta, I will be making an announcement. But nobody's going to get me to make that prematurely. That's all there is to that.
There is widespread speculation Cain might end his candidacy. For the last couple of years, Alan Gross has been held in a Cuban prison. The American government subcontractor accused of being a spy. White House spokesman Jay Carney speaking up.
Cuban authorities have failed in their effort to use Mr. Gross as a pawn for their own ends. They must heed the call of Mr. Gross's family and friends, the international community, and the United States to immediately release Mr. Gross.
The head of Egypt's Electoral Commission says more than 13 million voters cast ballots in parliamentary elections Monday and Tuesday. CBS's Alex Ortiz with more from Cairo.
He called the number of voters who turned out for the first round of parliamentary elections the highest since the time of the pharaohs. He claimed that 62% of eligible voters went to the polls for this first round.
Muslim Brotherhood's political arm expected to take the largest share of votes, followed by an ultra-conservative Islamist party. Southern California and the effects of the Santa Ana winds.
The powerful winds have calmed down, but it's going to take some time before things get back to normal. Many homes and businesses remain without power. Cleanup crews are still trying to clear hundreds of fallen trees. Los Angeles Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa.
I ask for continued patience on the part of Angelenos.
This weekend, the winds may pick up again, but they are not expected to be nearly as strong.
Steve Futterman, CBS News, Los Angeles.
Independent consultant says Connecticut's largest utility did not have enough repair crews in place before the record-setting October snowstorm that left customers, some of them, without electricity for up to 11 days. Connecticut Light Power facing heavy criticism after that storm, the company president resigning. The man who brought us this wants to bring transcendental bliss to America's military. David Lynch made movies like Blue Velvet and Wild at Heart and TV's Twin Peaks. Giving $1 million in grants to teach transcendental meditation technique to active duty military personnel and veterans and their families suffering from post-traumatic stress. Wall Street peaking early today and then losing. The Dow goes down just a fraction to finish at 12,019. This is CBS News.
Hey everybody, Jay Farner here, and I'd like to introduce the Yorgage from Quicken Loans. Our Yorgage is better than a traditional mortgage because it conforms to your goals. It's a fixed-rate home loan that allows you to custom design a term that works best for you, anywhere from 8 to 30 years. The rate today on an 8-year fixed Yorgage is an amazing 3.5%, APR 3.69%. Call today at 800-970-2611.
Call us for cost information. Other restrictions may apply. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Dear Kelly, we're so proud of the young woman you're becoming. You've been working very hard, and pretty soon, you'll go off to college. And when you do, we'll make you a deal. You keep up the grades, then we'll cover the tuition. Love, Mom and Dad.
When you give the gift of New York life, you give the most selfless gift of all. Whole Life Insurance gives you the financial protection to help achieve your family's goals, in good times and bad. Contact your New York Life Insurance Company agent or visit us at newyorklife.com.
Nothing says giving like guns.
Tucked in shopping carts with tank tops, tools, toys, and smartphones were handguns and shotguns. Gun dealers set a record number of background check applications to the FBI, topping the number set 3 years ago. A 32% increase, and there's speculation it could have been even higher because the FBI does not keep such sales records. Gun industry analysts noting the surge speculate it's probably because of an increasing number of first-time buyers seeking protection and women who've taken up sports shooting and hunting. Gary Nunn, CBS News.
Where's Waldo? Authorities in Milford, Connecticut wish they knew the bull escaping from a nearby farm in July, and for the last several weeks, the 700-pound Angus has been traveling and grazing with a herd of deer. Last month, they tracked him down, volunteers putting up a steel fence around Waldo's hideout, but he rammed it and escaped. Now a posse of about 20 veterinarians hope to find Waldo again, trap him, move him to an animal sanctuary. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
Tis the season of some assembly required, so stop in to any participating Napa Auto Parts store this December for holiday savings on select tool sets, like the Crescent Brand 128-piece tool gift set, only $49.99, or the Gear Wrench 5-piece Universal Ratcheting Wrench set, just $29.99. Napa Know How! Now you can get something for everyone in the family, including your car. Offer expires 12/31/11 while supplies last.
To Alex, what can I say to the greatest 4-year-old in the universe? I'm already so proud of you, and you can't even tie your shoes yet. You're the best gift I've ever gotten. So here's the best gift I could give in return. Love, Dad.
When it comes to your loved ones, give the most selfless gift of all, a secure financial future. New York Life Insurance Company has been protecting families for over 165 years and has the highest ratings currently awarded to any life insurer. Contact your New York Life agent or visit newyorklife.com.
Hey kids, remember lots of adults and kids too paid admission to enjoy the show. We must insist on absolute quiet.
Jimmy D's in the theater with me tonight. And hi, Jim. How are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. Great to be here.
All right, cool. We have some interesting things going on at the Palm, and I don't know what do we have. Usually what we do is we talk about some of the other stuff, here's phone numbers again, 786-2578, that's 786-2578, or 1-866-937-1340. If you'd like to buzz in, you certainly can. Steven, is that right? Steven Spielberg? No. Don't tell me. Steven Spielberg got something out.
He has two movies this Christmas season. The Adventures of Tintin and War Horse. He's been busy.
And then Martin Scorsese has this other movie out, this Christmas movie.
Hugo.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be good.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to I never thought I would say that I would look forward to seeing a 3D movie, because I've kind of been down on 3D. But apparently this one, you need to see it in 3D.
They did, okay.
And so it's about the birth of cinema. It's supposed to be wonderful. It has Ben Kingsley.
Oh, you'd love that.
Yeah. I haven't. It's only been in town for about a week, but I want to get out to see it.
The War Horse thing I saw a little bit about was about, was it the First World War?
I think
it's the First World War, and the horses were drafted into service, so to speak, and then the guy borrowing from the last of the Mohicans said, "Wherever you go, I will find you." And it made me look up, and I went, "Is Daniel Day-Lewis here?" Oh, anyway, so it had to do with a horse this time. So anyway, but I don't know. I don't know. I might see a horse movie. I'm not sure. I don't know.
Well, you should check out the preview. A lot of people have responded to the preview. They really want to see it. The other interesting thing about Steven Spielberg is The Adventures of Tintin, which is an age-old comic strip character from Europe. He has already released the film in Europe, and it's already cleaning up there because it's such a popular character.
Who is Tintin?
Been around for years. There's tons of books. It's a comic strip character, and he's been around forever. I want to say he's from Belgium, but
I think I kind of vaguely have an idea.
But huge popularity, and what he did was usually when a Spielberg film comes out, they release it worldwide or on a gazillion screens. But it's been playing in Europe for I want to say about a month and cleaning up over there. It opens around Christmas time in the U.S.
And then I saw a lady interviewed today on Today's Show, and she's written a book about Rin Tin Tin.
It's really
it's quite a story. And Rin Tin Tin, another weird thing, like with the horses, he was rescued by a guy during the war, and then eventually he trained him, and he was in a lot of silent films. It was the First World War, and he was in a lot of silent films. He got paid more than a lot of the actors in the silent films, and then, of course, eventually got on TV and all that kind of stuff. But he had quite a career. I mean, his offspring. They made quite a bit of dough, apparently.
Well, I'm way off subject here, but when you mentioned Rin Tin Tin, when Bob and I did our movie show on Robert Mitchum.
Right.
Robert Mitchum has been asked, how do you approach acting? Do you use method? Where you stay in character, or you do all this stuff. And he said, Robert Mitchum, without missing a trick, he goes, I use the Rin Tin Tin method. That dog never had any sort of motivational method going on. His acting ability, he likened to Rin Tin Tin, and his acting.
That's fun.
It's great.
That's very fun. All right, let's talk about what's going on at the Palm, because we got some new things, and here's why. Because I don't think it was a review. That it wasn't really a review, but it was a little blurb. I read a blurb somewhere about this Melancholia.
Melancholia is the newest film from Danish director Lars von Trier, who has sort of a notorious reputation. Some critics think he's the greatest living film director, or one of the greatest. I don't really feel that way, but he's done some great films. He's done some films that I'm not really that crazy about. I have a friend who lives in Maine and has a theater like the Palm. He thinks Lars von Trier is one of the greatest directors ever.
Sure, but he gets cabin fever up there. That's why. He loses his mind in Maine.
There was probably more controversy about some comments that Lars von Trier made at the last Cannes Film Festival, which I guess was last May or so, or thereabouts, because he made some comments about Hitler. He was in France. I guess you can really get in trouble if you talk about Hitler.
I've really begun to realize something, that I don't care what the circumstance is, what you're trying to compare it to, do not use Hitler.
Yeah, I don't care what country you're in. I don't care what it's about. Do not use Hitler, unless you're talking about Hitler. Because everybody that does it, you know, just gets in trouble because the guy was so abhorrent that there's nothing that compares to the guy.
Yeah, I'm not even sure what he was responding to at a press conference, but it was the press conference for Melancholia. And his comments that, I don't know what they were about, but got more press than the film itself, even though the film was very highly acclaimed. At Cannes, and it's gotten great critical response. I've seen it, and I actually liked it quite a lot. Melancholia has sort of a science fiction aspect to it, but it's not a science fiction movie at all. Melancholia is a planet that's about to crash into the Earth, and that's sort of the subtext. The first half of the film is a wedding of Kirsten Dunst and her groom, and it's pretty much about how her entire family is one of the most dysfunctional families on the planet, and this day of joy is anything but. But I think the overall commentary, I don't want to say too much, but I think Lars von Trier's view of the human species is not the best. And so this movie is more about, if you knew that the end of the world was coming, what would you chat about? It focuses on two sisters, Kirsten Dunst and the wonderful Charlotte Gainsbourg, who's a wonderful French actress. The film's in English, by the way. But it's more about what would you talk about if you knew the end was coming? And I almost put it in the same category as the film we showed the last 2 weeks called Take Shelter, where I think art imitates life, and in this case, I think there's a lot of uncertainty in the world, whether you talk about the Occupy movement or holding on to your job, financial stuff, climate change. I mean, there's a lot of uncertainty out there, and I think that's sort of a real basis for Melancholia, where we're kind of uncertain and go, gee, what's the future going to bring?
Is this planet just approaching Earth as it's kind of a continuous thing where it's just headed for Earth?
Yeah, and there's a question in the movie whether or not it's going to hit the Earth, but during the first half of the film, when this wedding kind of falls apart, Charlotte Rampling is in it. She's fabulous. John Hurt, the British actor, is in it. I mean, there's this great, wonderful ensemble cast, but it's a little uncomfortable to watch this wedding kind of devolve, let's just say. But during the wedding part, you look up in the sky, and there's this star that is Melancholia, and they kind of, gee, what is that? And they realize that it could or could not hit the Earth and end everything.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. And here's, this is new, Mozart's Sister.
It is a French film, and it got great reviews. I just put it together, so I have not seen Mozart's Sister, but it got very good reviews. In addition to, I know there's probably, you know, people who love Mozart out there, but I didn't know he had a sister, and apparently she was musical. I didn't see Mozart's sister in Amadeus.
I was going to say, not that many people probably knew about Mozart's sister. I certainly didn't know about it.
No, and so, but there's also the typical idea that, you know, she's in the shadow of her very famous composer brother, but she was musical, apparently, and I guess had some talent, even though she was, again, in the shadow of Wolfgang.
It's kind of like Whistler's mother. What do we know about the father? You know, nothing. Yeah. All we know is mom was sitting there.
Exactly.
So we don't know that.
So I was sort of surprised, and I checked a lot of reviews, and this looks like a wonderful movie. They say it's lushly photographed. There's wonderful music, and it's sort of the untold story of Mozart's sister.
Very interesting. Very interesting. All right, we have two movies we've had around, A Short Time, one of them, and then The Way. And I'll go ahead and have you remind us what The Way is.
The Way is stars Martin Sheen, directed by his son, Emilio Estevez. This is like our sixth week, and people have really embraced this film, and I'm so grateful. Thank you out there for coming to see The Way. But it's about Martin Sheen. I won't spoil anything that in the movie, Emilio Estevez plays his son, actually his real-life son, who dies unexpectedly when he's making this rather spiritual trek across Spain, which is the way you end up in northwestern Spain in a town called Santiago de Compostela at a church. And this trek is sort of a spiritual journey that has been in place for thousands of years. What Martin Sheen does is does the trek that his son was going to do. And it's also coming to grips with his son's death. They weren't very close. In fact, Martin Sheen in the movie is not really happy with his son, that he's kind of a free spirit. Martin Sheen is an ophthalmologist. He's very rich in the film. And I guess this won't ruin anything either, but he's on the golf course playing with his buddies, and he gets the news that his son has passed away. Goes to Spain and does the trek that his son was going to do. It's really quite a wonderful film. The response I've had from the people coming to see it has been really, really good.
And very realistic, because the ophthalmologists in San Luis have a lot of money. Okay, moving right along. The Skin I Live In.
This is the new one from a very interesting director from Spain, Pedro Almodóvar. He has quite a reputation, and this one is pretty much out there. Antonio Banderas is a doctor who works with plastic surgery, and it's almost like a horror film. He's trying to create a new type of skin for those people who have accidents or burn victims or something like that. But that's merely scratching the surface with this film, and I would say that those listeners who are familiar with Pedro Almodóvar's work, he's really a fabulous film director, almost very traditional in storytelling, but he does get out there on the fringes with some, let's just say some provocative themes. So Skin I Live In, it's the new one from this famed director, and I recommend it, but it's like a horror movie pretty much.
Well, look at the horror we had. We had the lady that I probably heard the story about, this lady that was arrested. She injected another woman because the other woman was trying to save some money and heard that this lady would do a good job. And she injected her butt. She wanted to change her butt. She injected her butt with, true story, cement, mineral oil, and tire sealant.
Oh, my wife Patty was telling me about this.
Then they had yesterday, they had a picture of a woman who also went to this woman and had her face done. Well, she looks like Howdy Doody.
Oh.
You know, I mean, it just isn't right. The whole thing's just terrible. And I don't know how you get that stuff. How do you get cement out? I mean, I don't know what you do.
Well, you got to look at the what is it, the thing on the wall, your credentials, and make sure that they have a doctorate instead of a doctorate in bricklaying, I guess. I'm sorry. We shouldn't joke about this stuff because it's pretty horrific.
Well, I know, but, you know, that's not the thing. It's not the place to save money. You know what I mean? Save money on something else, you know? Cut back on the dog food or something.
I mean, that's more shocking than the Pedro Almodóvar film, I assure you.
Now, here's the... this was a nice ad they put in here for Melancholia.
Yeah, that's kind of nice. When the distributor really gets behind a film, they will help with the newspaper advertising, and we got a really nice ad with Kirsten Dunst in her marriage dress.
Well, and here's the thing here. It says, and I told you on the phone, Kirsten Dunst, the only thing I've ever seen her was Spider-Man. But she has a Best Actress Award?
She's extremely good in this, and the fact that it's not Spider-Man. She's really wonderful in this. And, you know, that's a nice situation when actors or actresses get an opportunity to, you know, expand or do something different than what you're used to. And I thought she was really good in this film. And, you know, she's very, well, not to take from the title, but she is very melancholic about what's happening. She's the one who felt that her wedding was kind of a sham at the beginning of the film. She's very, very good. I thought she really, expanded her acting talents. I didn't know she could do it, but she's very good in this film.
We shall return to Jim D. in the Palm Theater and Bill Beck and you.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Delicious things to eat.
The popcorn can't be beat. The sparkling drinks are just dandy. The chocolate bars and the candy. So let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
San Luis Obispo's Palm Theater is your ticket to cinema for the soul. Jim D's Palm Theater shows first-run film festival favorites for those who seek movie mastery that runs deeper than the overly hyped pedestrian fare. This marvelous intimate multiplex is known as the Slow Theater, where the prices and popcorn are the best in town. Green as a bean, the Palm is also the only solar-powered theater on the Central Coast. Across from the Palm Street parking garage, The Palm on Palm. Cinema for your soul.
All right. You're back with Bill, and you're back with Jim. And if you have any thoughts or questions or anything you want to throw in, 786-2578 is our local number, 786-2578. We'll pick up the diamond if you want to call on toll-free, 866-937-1340. That's 937-1340. Well, here's an interesting thing that's going on, because I really have to say, I didn't think they'd give him another shot at it, but Ricky Gervais is back being the MC of the, is it the Golden Globes?
Yes. Yeah. Boy, he was very controversial last year, wasn't he? He didn't pull any punches. Didn't he call Ashton Kutcher Bruce Willis's son?
Yeah, something like that, yes.
And that was a mild
joke. That was one of the mild things. Then he talked about, what's the guy's name, Robert Downey Jr. having problems and all that. So, you know, it's interesting because having had a friend that was English, that's very what people in England do. They take and they deride people that are famous. That's the funny thing that people in England. I don't think he quite got that here. You know, in the if it's out of context, it doesn't work so well. But I think Ricky Gervais is a very funny man. I just read an article about Ricky Gervais, and they said he talked about The Office. You know, he's the one that came up with The Office, mm-hmm. and then it brought it to America. And I'm trying to think. Oh, please, Bill, try to remember. He started writing a script for something and thought, nah, I don't know, I'm just not interested in doing it. And it turned out it was a movie. It was two movies, and I can't think of them. Oh, gosh, Benica. And anyway, they ended up making $1 billion, the two movies. And it was the same idea he had, but he had it years before, but he just never did anything with it.
Well, you know, I think the Golden Globes sort of pride themselves on being a little bit more fast and loose and than the Oscars, which they say, well, you know, it's kind of stuffy, the Oscars. So we have more fun with the Golden Globes. So I think Ricky just sort of took it to the nth degree, and he got a few pot shots back at him. And so, you know, when the playing field is as loose as he makes it, he got a few zingers. Yeah. I think there was some film he was in where he was a ghost or nobody could see him, and boy, it was a dud. And so one of the presenters, you know, were zinging it back. So I'm thinking maybe this year, if Ricky's there, you know, the presenters and the recipients of the awards are going to be ready to blast back at him, and it may be just a fabulous free-for-all.
Now, we had I really enjoyed his movie, The Invention of Lying. I thought it was very clever.
No, I haven't seen that. Okay. I know the title, but
okay. It was a very interesting movie. Bobby Flay's wife is in the movie.
Hey.
But her little cameo role is he gets in an elevator and he says, you know, the world's coming to an end. And he's just kidding, but nobody ever lies. So she goes, well, what are we going to do? We should have sex right here, right now. And he goes, no, we shouldn't. You know, and so it's a very cute movie because up until the point that he lies, nobody has ever lied before in this movie.
Oh.
Yeah, it's like a place where nobody ever lies. And then all of a sudden he realizes, like he goes to the bank and he says, I need to take out, you know, $5,000. And so she goes, well, you only have $39 in your checking account. He goes, well, then you've made a mistake. And this is the first time he thinks of trying this. And so she goes, well, then. Well, I'm very sorry. We'll make sure we correct that, and here's your $5,000. You know, because nobody ever lies. Ah. So it gets really cute. And part of what it is it's a kind of a I don't even want to use the word mockery, but I'm going to use the word of as a tongue-in-cheek shot at people's belief in God too. Hmm. You know, because he eventually says, well, there's commandments, you know, and he's got pizza boxes with the things on of what you can do and what you can't do. But it's so weird because as soon as he says, well, you can do this, then all these people ask questions, say, well, but can you do this? He goes, I don't know. I haven't figured that out yet. So anyway, it's a cute movie. I thought it was pretty cute. Anybody else in the news today? Anybody else? Oh, and so Eddie Murphy's out, and what's his name? Come on, Billy Crystal. Billy Crystal's going to do the Academy
Awards. Oh, at the
Awards.
Oscars, yeah.
Oscars, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
But it's too bad Jack Palance is still not still remember that one where Jack Palance called him some name when he got the... And then Billy Crystal used Jack Palance for the butt of his jokes for the rest of the night. You know, remember when he was doing push-ups,
with one hand? Yeah.
And then I think the next break he comes out and says, well, we just saw Jack Palance, you know, bungee jumping off of the Hollywood sign. And, boy, he went with it. So that was fun.
Billy Crystal's very funny, so I think that's going to be a hoot. Yeah. Another man whose movies I've always enjoyed. I think he's just done some... And the thing I like about Billy Crystal is it's not like brain surgery movies, you know. It's just sort of watch and enjoy yourself, and that's the kind of movie he does.
Yeah, I like
and
them, too.
I like those, too.
I do want to mention to your listeners, we are coming in with The Descendants next week at the Palm. This is the new George Clooney movie, which I've seen. I loved it. It was really good. It's from the director of Sideways, Alexander Payne. The reason I mention it, I have a lot of requests for it because there's TV ads, a luxury for the Palm, because usually our movies don't have TV ads.
Yeah, there's a lot of TV ads out for it.
So Descendants is a week from today. I think it's going to be a blockbuster. It actually made the top 10 against the Twilight movie. You know, when that was making a gazillion dollars, the Descendants was playing on something like 40 theaters across the country, and it made the top 10. And so... very lucky to have that. Another one we've been, a lot of requests for is The Artist. It's this homage to silent movies. Don't have a date yet. They're telling me Christmas Day, but those are the two films I'm getting the most requests for. And next week for Descendants, I'm hoping Christmas Day for The Artist.
You know what? I'm one of these people that I check on Turner Classic Movies to see what's coming up, and if there's anything like with Buster Keaton and some of these people that are just a roar, I go ahead and, you know, put them on my DVR.
Those are so great. They hold up just fabulously. Amazing. I mean, Keaton, Chaplin, those guys made movies. It's almost as if they didn't need to make any more movies. Those guys did it all.
And here's another interesting thing, too, when you mentioned George Clooney. I would think somewhere along the line, George Clooney has done something that would be deserving of some kind of an award. You know what I mean?
Well, they're talking about it with this one. He's very good in this.
I hope so, because you know you got Brad Pitt, who I think is a very good actor, and everybody kind of pushes him aside. You have and I tell you, I don't know what J. Edgar's like as far as a movie. I don't know if you've heard about it, but what's his name?
Oh, Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, Leonardo DiCaprio. So he's, I think he's also just completely fabulous at what he does.
Yeah, I think they say he's, I haven't seen J. Edgar, but they say he's great in it. They're talking about George Clooney, and I'm trying to think who the other possible hopefuls. Well, we've got this film coming in mid-January called Shame, NC-17 all the way, but it's this actor named Michael Fassbender, who they're saying will... hopefully get an Oscar nomination. Very, very provocative film, but he is really good in it. Michael Fassbender. He's also in the new film by David Cronenberg. It's called The Dangerous Method, where he plays Carl Jung, and he's very good in that. He's a really dynamic actor.
And it's been quite some time since we had a... what was the name of that movie? I forgot. It was provocative, though. I remember that. And everybody talked about it at the time. Anyway, we got great things going on at the Palm Theater. Make sure you get in and see some stuff over the holidays. It's a good good time to just sit back and relax, and you can enjoy it. Don't forget, we have on weekdays 4:15 matinees, Saturday and Sunday 1:30 and 4:15, and at night 7:00 during the weekdays. So you get plenty of time to see things and do things, and it's always fun. I've always thought one of the movies was fun on the holidays.
Yeah, tonight the San Luis Obispo Christmas Parade.
That's right. You're probably not going to get a lot of people.
If you can find a parking space, come to the theater. But you got the fabulous.
See that newspaper in front of you? That's yesterday's Tribune. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now read the lower right hand thing and see what it says.
Holiday celebrants sent to march in SLO.
Yep, go ahead and read that loud. The first
more than 100 entrants are slated to participate in bear-themed parade. That's B-E-A-R
bear, yeah,
themed.
Bear.
Okay.
Yeah, but keep going. Keep going. A bit further.
Oh, the first line. Holiday spirit will take to the streets and. They said Saturday.
Yes.
Oops.
Oops.
Folks, it's tonight.
And then I was talking about being an announcer for the parade hall for many, many, many years, you know. But I got to retire, I thought. And then so somebody sent me on Facebook. They said, Bill, I hear there's opening for three more announcers. Well, I think he was pulling my leg, I hope. Anyway.
Ooh, that's
Been there, done that.
It's tonight, folks. And it's a fun time to go down to downtown San Luis, enjoy the parade.
And they say it's the biggest one they've ever had. That's really cool.
It's fun. The whole town.
Remember the lady?
What was the name of the lady?
Judy? And she, what was the name of something sporting goods? There was a sporting goods store that was down by, where was the sporting goods store?
Bellows?
No. This was in a block. No, this was like a honey shooty store. And it was in the block. It was in the same block as Mother's Tavern and all that. And it was there for years and years and years. And the lady that ran that did the parade forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And I often would say to her, I said, don't you ever want to stop doing this? She goes, yeah, I did, but I don't know how to stop because I don't know who else would do it, you know. So it's one of those things. So I'm not sure who's in charge of the parade anymore.
Well, we used to have the La Fiesta Parade, but that's
that kind pooped
of,
out.
That kind of long gone, even though that was quite a tradition here in San Luis Obispo.
That was really weird. People just somehow they just sort of lost interest. But the La Fiesta Parade, if you look at it, because I was involved in that also, and if you look at it, it was tended to be the more senior citizens of San Luis Obispo, the more senior people that had history in San Luis Obispo.
Or more, I remember it as a traditional parade where you see the Boy Scouts marching or the Cub
right.
Scouts.
And they'd have the mariachis and the girls and the twirly skirts, all that kind of stuff. And I mention the story every now and then. I had to MC the dinner for the past and new queen, La Fiesta Queen at Madonna Inn. And so the one thing they did was they said, whatever you do, don't get any of these names wrong, because these old girls will just have a fit. I'm like, oh, God, help, you know. So I practiced and wrote them out so phonetically and did everything in the whole wide world to say, okay, don't stumble on this, whatever you do.
Oops.
So it went okay. And it was one of those things where you could just sort of tell right from the get-go, they didn't want you to tell jokes. There was not a joke in the world these old gals wanted to hear. Like, just honor us and the new queen. So I said, okay, well,
too bad we don't have the Mardi Gras parade, but when you said king, queen, but anyway. That's just a little beef of my own. I wish we saw that wonderful Mardi Gras celebration.
You know what's very interesting about that also, and you're right, and I think this is very curious. The last parade we had got control out of hand a little bit. But here's what's really weird. KSBY's had a news reporter at that time down there, and she was in sort of trouble, to tell you the truth. They were kind of all surrounding this woman in not a good way.
Oh.
A bunch of guys. And what was interesting is they didn't report that. You know?
Huh.
It was like, you know, we don't want to see this go away either, so we'll just sort of ignore the fact that it happened. But I don't even remember what her name was, but I ran into her at some point, and I said, that had to be kind of a weird situation you were in. She said, oh, you have no idea how bad it got.
Ooh.
You know, so it was like, oh, my God, you know, kind of weird.
Too bad. A few spoil it for the...
That's
for
right. The, that's the, right.
Yeah.
We got to have parades. You know, we need more parades in San Luis. All right, so tonight, don't forget the Christmas parade. Don't forget to get to the Palm Theater to see these great movies. And it's a solar-powered, and it's got great popcorn and Cokes and stuff. And Jim D, we thank you very much, and I hope I'll see you back here next week.
You bet.
Okay.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, sir.
How does a little shoe store like Mike's and the Slow Promenade seem so big? They start by taking assortment to a new level. Not just any assortment, but the brands people really want and the styles people really love. Mike, Annie, Shu Shun, and their entire crew at Mike's really know their stuff, and they're happy to make it work for you. The right people, the right place, all the time. You'll like Mike's and find what you're looking for in men's and women's shoes. Every time you hear this ad, you're just one pair away from the perfect number of shoes. Mike's Shoes at Southside Promenade.
Mike's Shoes. Southside Promenade right there. And don't forget, they got big Uggs thing going on. You know, it's a Christmas time, and they got Uggs and whatnot. And then they got other nice shoes. They got really nice shoes there. Everybody likes Mike's. So you want to go there. All right, let's see what else is happening. Let's mention some of these other things that are happening. Oh, you know what else I want to mention, because it's already gotten kind of late. But I did want to mention Spencer's Fresh Markets and let you know what's going on there. because they got the 3-day special that starts today, tomorrow, and Sunday. And those include 10 for a dollar kiwis. Oh, what is sweet kiwi fruit? We know what it is. It's a fruit. 10 for a dollar kiwis. $3.29 for large barbecued oysters, $11.99 for a 12-pack of Newcastle beer, if you like that darky stuff. And then they have Spencer's Angus bone and ribeye steaks for $5.99 a pound. Oh, that sounds good. And then and their Prairie Fresh Natural Pork baby back ribs are just $3.99 a pound. Then, because this is the season for poinsettias, and they have 6-inchers for $3.99 each, so that's a good deal, too. Lots of coupons and stuff, lots of great deals and sales and things. And if you haven't been to Spencer's, you're blowing it, because I want you to know it's a great store, and they really, really, really take care of you. They have the here's stuffed clams or scallops for $4.99. How yummy is that? And here's the Aqua Star Cook Shrimp Mini Platter with the sauce, $3.99 each. Can't beat that. And I got all the Morrison meats and cheeses and everything. And great stuff in the deli department and the slow-roasted coffee. They have slow-roasted coffee at a great price. And so everything you need for your holiday things are right there. Also, don't forget Frank Bouget makes all those fancy-dancy cakes. So if you want a special cake, and it would be. It's really a special cake that he makes. And if you want to get a special cake or pie or something like that from Frank, you'd be glad you did. Spencer's Fresh Market in 5 locations on the Central Coast in San Luis Obispo, Morro Bay, Atascadero, Aurora Grande, and Santa Maria. Right. What else you got, Benica? I want to make sure I don't miss these events that are going on. Because we got the, this is on Sunday, December 4th, once again. It's the 31st annual Slo County Toy Run from Avila Beach to Creston. And there's going to be a skillion people riding in that thing. And so admission is $5 a person, a new unwrapped toy for the kids ages 1 to 16, $15 without a toy. So bring a toy, for God's sake. That's the whole idea. And these guys are going to ride all the way up to the loading chute in Creston. So it's a huge event. Now, let me get some other stuff. Make sure I have it all. Well, there's another thing going on I want you to know about. There's a parade on December 3rd, so that's tomorrow. There's another parade. There's a parade in Paso Robles tomorrow. There's a parade tomorrow, and that'll be at 9. You line up at 9 a.m. no later than 9:30. The lineup is at Rockaway Avenue between South 16th and South 14th Street. And I'll tell you who they encourage. They got motorcycles and all that kind of stuff. They also encourage veterans. This is a thing that's a part of this is provided this information from Cheryl and Bob Tolan from Welcome Home Troops. And so if you have a uniform that you still fit in, you can wear that. Or if you just want to march and say, here, I'm marching, that's the way you can do that. Let's get on the horn and say hi to somebody today. Hello, hello.
Hey, Bill, it's Ray.
Hi, Ray.
You're talking about the parade in Grover Beach.
Yeah.
You said Paso Robles.
No, I said there is a parade in Paso at 7. There's a parade in Grover Beach, and that's at and that's at 10.
Oh, I stand corrected, sir.
That's all right. What's up with you? Anything special?
Oh, just working. Got to get back to it. Got to stand up for my hometown of Grover, that's all.
God love you, and you should, too. Oh, you got 1 second? Let me ask you, tell me how you feel about this community garden affair. I don't know how many plots they have, and I think it goes block to block, doesn't it?
It's one block as far as I know.
Okay. But, I mean, it goes from street to street is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And so, which is a lot bigger than San Luis's. Anyway, but so here, you know, they're trying to, close the shortfalls that every city's trying to figure out how to do it. And so, of course, they're talking about selling that that plot and getting about $250,000 for it. Are you for that or are you for having the gardens?
I'd rather have the gardens.
I think most people would. I think if you take the pulse of a community would say, yes, that's what I'd like to do. The only thing that concerns me is I don't know how many people actually get to garden versus the number of people that don't have anything to do with it and Grover having money problems like everybody else. But
Of course, they sold it to pave my street.
you and a whole bunch of other people in Grover. Oh, that's very funny, Ray. Well, thank you, sir.
Okay,
stay
thank
in
you.
Touch. Okay, bye. All right. Poor Grover does. They got some streets that are just, oh, my gosh. Icky. Is that 4th Street? Oh, help. I think I got everything set there. We've got everything done. And I wanted to make sure. Let's find out what else is happening today. Do I have anything over? Oh, I got some stuff over here. Wait, here's something I want to share with you. There was a couple things I wanted to share with you. Let me boot Calcos News out of here. All right. And let me see what I put up here. See if there's any chance it could possibly work. Because once it sits there for a while, it kind of retires. It has an expiration moment, like a date. All right. That was an amazing story. Let me see what this one is. Here, right there, Branson, you know, Mr. Virgin guy, says, this is why we should work less. I think I'm for this program. Yep. Here today, because it's just, you know, it just sits there. There we go. I think we're going to get it. That's lying to you. I have a lie to you. Okay, let's not worry. Oh, wait.
Aaron Burnett out front. Weeknights at 7, only on CNN.
So you work as running Virgin Airlines and Virgin America, which, of course, is well-known here in the U.S., and an industry that's perceived as heavily unionized. We see American Airlines going bankrupt just this week, partially because of union costs. Do you think that that's part of the solution here, that unions, whether in Europe or Britain or the United States, are going to take more cuts, and people in general are going to have to work more years just to get the pension promises that they've had or to get their Social Security?
I think that screwing business as usual should also be, you know, rethinking the way that we do business. Mm-hmm. And you know, at the moment, you know, you're either in a job working, you know, ridiculous hours, yeah, or you're out of a job. There are a lot of people who are in jobs who, if they had good, you know, if they were run by good company bosses, they would have the courage to say, actually, I'd love to job share. I'd love to go part time. And if they did that, they would make room for, you know, those people who are desperate for a job. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, my own personal feeling is that government should share all the work that is out there around in times of crisis, so that there's nobody just sitting, you know, at home doing no mm-hmm. work. You know, but you know, maybe it means reducing to a 4.5-day work week or something like that. But make sure that everybody has a job, and you know, people might actually quite like having a little bit more time at home with slightly less money.
They would. They'd love that. And actually, I think it's interesting coming from someone like you, because a lot of times when you hear those ideas, people scoff and say, "Okay, well, 4.5 days a week, then I'm not earning as much money. I can't make my mortgage." You know, there's all kinds of negatives that come with that, but. But you actually think it could work?
Well, I think first of all, you'd ask people to volunteer for it, and
yeah,
you'd be surprised. I mean, we've done market research on it and found 20-25% of people would welcome such a suggestion.
Wow, even in this economy, it's amazing.
Yeah, they're mm-hmm. frightened. They're frightened of actually suggesting it.
Yeah, I would be too. All right. So anyway, so that's an interesting idea, kind of a job share affair. So I would get more people working. So that's kind of cool. Richard Branson is going to take us into space. And this is what I was thinking when I was thinking about the movie Melancholia, is that, you know, if we just thought that planet was going to just sort of bump the Earth slightly, just make sure you're on the up in the air at the time. It's just an idea. I'm just trying to help you. All right. Other things are going on. Other things are happening. I got another story here, but I don't know how long it would take to actually work. I can't get it open, so. It's not going to work at all. So I'm not going to worry about that right there. Now, this was really good news here, at least as little as the good news as there is. Sewer project may get a little cheaper. State water officials consider lowering loan interest rate if county retains ownership. So the state water officials will meet in Sacramento on Monday to consider lowering the interest rate on a loan for Los Sosos Sewer Project, a move that could shave millions of dollars off the price of the project, reducing the cost to residents. State Water Resources Control Board will consider a staff recommendation to lower rate on a $69.7 million loan from 2.6% to 2%. The county and Los Sosos Community Services District are sending letters to the water board urging that the interest rate be reduced to zero in an effort to make the massive infrastructure project as affordable as possible. Now, here's the interesting thing, too. Because, you know, there are people that can borrow money for nothing now. I mean, you actually can borrow money for nothing. So the question becomes, why would you not, on a municipal project that is going to impact so many people, why would you not say, fine, you know what, and, you know, the banks can borrow money at zero interest. Why can't you borrow money at zero interest? Okay. And what you're going to do, you're going to end up doing a lot better with it than they are. They're going to line their own pockets with investments from that money, whereas this is going to take care of some people as far as the sewer. It's just a good idea, I thought. I don't know. All the glitters! Owner says he's being forced out. Small business will leave Plaza at the start of next year, is hoping to find a new location. So the CEO Travis McBurney says that the outfit that owns them now just wants to have big chains and all that. So they're not sure where they're going to go, but they're going to see what they can do. There's that. There's that. In the news, there's that. Okay. Well, here's Charles Krauthammer, which has a Mitt Romney versus Newt Gingrich, which I would just do without. All right. Now, here was a thought that Nancy had from Orchid. And she said, "Buy American. The average person spends $700 on Christmas gifts, and if each of us spent just 64 of that on products made in America, we could create 200,000 jobs right here in our country." ABC News has been running info on where and what to buy. When I went to the website, I only saw one entry on the entire Central Coast. I'm assuming people haven't heard about it. I think we'd all like to make a difference, especially here. So I'm writing this in the hopes of people locally supporting local businesses and buying products made in America. Even if your Christmas budget is not $700, and mine certainly isn't, try to buy as many things made in America as you can. You may even get some ideas for gifts you hadn't even thought of. Like a toothbrush or something. All right, there you go, right there. This is interesting. This is D. Dwayne from Canterbury wrote this letter about, in case you missed it on national TV, the determined group of more than 200 American millionaires has demanded that Congress raise their taxes. Patriotic millionaires are supportive of Warren Buffett's proposal to raise taxes on himself and the other ultra-wealthy. Republicans scream hell no to a single dollar of increased taxes and all this. And then, of course, Grover Norquist's name comes in there, which doesn't make any sense anyway. So I don't understand. Amy wrote this. I want everyone to know that the holiday craft fair in the Mission Plaza in San Luis Obispo is happening this weekend, Saturday and Sunday from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Come out and support your local artisans. They are your neighbors and friends who make Christmas gifts from the heart. So that's going to be all weekend in the plaza. And that's always a fun event, too. They do make some great things. And they're made in America. Okay. And also the weather's going to be not too bad, mid-60s or so in San Luis Obispo. We're okay with that. There was three letters, all said the same thing on the zip line thing. Remember the people who were saying we want to put a zip line, perhaps in Santa Margarita, and then they found out that the county had no rules about zip lines. There was absolutely no ordinances, no anything about zip lines, and so the county's falling over itself to find a way to make money and screw them. And so and that's basically what all three people said. Seriously, right? Seriously. Can't you just leave them alone? Then somebody else had a letter the other day. And I just don't understand this. And it was basically to say tax small businesses, make them pay. That's if they have a sandwich board sign out front, make them pay for having that. The reason they have the sandwich board sign up front is to try to make some money. And if the money they make, because they have the sandwich board sign out there, they have to pay to somebody, a city, a municipality, and then say, here, well, you can have the money from it. Then what was the point? This brick-and-mortar small business thing is getting tougher and tougher and tougher and tougher and tougher and tougher. And I can't understand why anybody would say in any way to any of these people, Let's make it harder for you. I don't think it's a good idea right there. All right. Currently, the government has no plans to store nuclear waste. So here's what George said. He said the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission headquarters is in Rockville, Maryland, might be the solution to the nation's nuclear storage problem. Instead of paying fines and fees to various nuclear sites, modify the NRC headquarters by using dry cask storage containers and digging underground for additional storage caverns similar to the ones they have in Finland. According to the website, the NRC is just outside Washington, D.C. I swear I don't know why I didn't think of this before. It seems so simple.
Yeah, I'll show them. Yeah, I'll show them what, how to behave. All right. Their Tribune, this is editorials, I guess, is what I'm going to call them instead of what they call them. But they, anyway, they're happy the Union Pacific extended the fence further down, and that the kids will still find a way. Wrong time for transportation tax. San Luis Obispo County Council of Governments for waiting too long to get serious about proposing a transportation sales tax. The agency has been talking about this for years and decided to conduct a survey now when the economy has hit the skids. It's a wonder the proposed tax polled as well as it did. Right, other things. And here's the trading one perk for another, which I was telling you about. You turn in your car, but you get more mileage than you would have, and more mileage than you would have gotten spent on the car anyway. Okay, future bright despite dismal job growth. Bright for whom? Bright for what? Bright for November's a good month for car sales. They do a lot of Christmassy advertising for cars. Do people buy each other cars at Christmas time? It's very special. That's nice, I think. TVs are hot sellers for the holidays. Right. Giving those away. And they're not made in America, I can tell you. There's not one you can buy. All right. Other people in the news. Barnes & Noble said Thursday it plans to invest more heavily in Snook e-book reader and digital media through, though it reported a third-quarter loss of sales of physical books continued to decline. The results missed analysts' expectations, saying the bookseller's shares down as much as 24% lower in heavy trading. So here's this. Yeah, it's an iPad with limitations. Is basically what the Nook and the new Kindle and all those things are. So they're useful. I mean, they can be useful, but they're kind of a compromise. Here's an interesting story. I mean, I don't understand how all this airline stuff works. JetBlue is buying landing rights in New York and Washington in a $72 million deal that reshuffles some of the players in the air travel in those cities. The deal wraps up a major trade of landing rights at LaGuardia in New York and Reagan National Airport in Washington, D.C., between Delta Airlines and U.S. Airways. The Transportation Department approved the Delta U.S. Airways deal as long as they agreed to sell off 8 pairs of daily takeoff and landing slots at Reagan and 16 pairs at LaGuardia to spread out over service of those ports. So it's just an idea. So that's part of your ticket. You know, you have to understand that. You know, they have to pay for landing rights. It's like when you are on a cruise, where I don't care where you go, when you're on a cruise, you have to pay to a dock. You know, they have to pay to tie up in another country. You have to pay for it. You pay for it. I forget how much it is, but it's surprisingly no good. All right. Now, here's a thing there. You ever have somebody, a relative or whatever it is, you have a relative, somebody that you know, and they're one of these people that can, you know, wolf down a sandwich in 8 seconds and all that kind of thing? Well, here's what it says. It's not just what you eat, but how fast you eat it. Men and heavier people may outpace women and slim people in eating speed. The first study compared eating rates and calories consumed among 30 men and 30 women at various meals. Researchers discovered that people who ate quickly consumed about 3.1 ounces of food per minute versus 2.5 ounces per minute for medium-speed eaters and 2 ounces per minute for slow eaters. Those who questioned whether men eat more than women wanted to know more. At lunch, men ate about 80 calories per minute, while women ate about 52 calories per minute. What does that have to do with by the minute? What does that have to do with anything? With how many calories you eat a minute? What does that matter? You know, if you have this is the sandwich you brought, and it takes you, if it takes you an hour to eat it, or it takes you a second to eat it, what does that matter? Unless they just put them in front of a big bowl of chips and said, you know, just keep eating until you puke, you know, and the person that eats more, you know, faster, obviously will have a higher caloric content. Is that what they did? I don't think so. slop.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day and the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
It's a wonderful world. Have a wonderful weekend. Have a wonderful time with Braid and all the other events. Don't forget the thing in the plaza and all the things that are going on this weekend and all over the place. So have a, be safe. Have a good time. And you and I will get together on Monday. Until then, may all your trails be happy ones and don't believe everything you hear here because...
This is Talk is Cheap. The game is over. The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Game over.
With Bill Benica.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Who cares about the clouds if we're together? Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather. Happy trails to you.